and Matthew chapter 21. How many got a Bible? Hold it up. Got a Bible? Hold it up. All right. You come to church, you ought to have a Bible. We're going to do a lot of turning this morning. You notice we didn't give out any palm trees this morning. Palm leaves. We didn't give out any, and I'm not against that. I'm not against giving it out. But there was a reason, and what's amazing to me, and I might say some things pretty offensive to you, and that's the way it is. It's amazing to me how many churches today, on Palm Sunday, they'll give out palm trees and palm leaves and all that stuff, but they know nothing about why. They don't know why they do it, and they don't believe the Bible. They don't believe why this thing happened, why this whole thing happened. They don't understand. When I first got saved, and I didn't understand. I didn't know why palm trees. I didn't understand that stuff. And then I started reading my Bible. I started getting a better understanding. And when you read your Bible, you'll see sequence of the way the Lord did things. And you read through Matthew, Luke, you'll find the Lord doing certain things. And he does it for a reason. And the reason why the Lord's doing this, I mean, he has this triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And for them to accept them as their Messiah. And they don't accept him other than a few. The Sanhedrin didn't accept him. And while Jesus Christ was on this planet, he was a prophet. He wasn't a priest yet. He wasn't a king yet. Now, he's all three. Jesus Christ is a prophet, priest, and king. Only you think about Samuel in the Bible. Samuel was a prophet and a priest, but he wasn't a king. The children of Israel said, give us a king. So Samuel had to go anoint a king. He said, God is your king. And they said, no, we want a king like everybody else. So Saul ends up being the first king. And you know what Saul did. And then Saul, he was a king, but he entered into the priest office, and God took away his kingdom. And David was a type of Jesus Christ. David's the only guy in the Bible that's a type of Jesus Christ, and that's why he's called the Son of David. Jesus Christ is called the Son of David. David is a prophet, and he's a priest because he goes into the priest office and have sacrifices, and he was king. And David that's why Jesus Christ is called the Son of David. And Matthew 21, there's sequence of things happen here. And let's look at chapter 21, verse 1. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, were come to Bethlehem, onto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples. The Lord always sent them out by two. I mean, whenever the Lord sent people out, he sent them out by two. Why? Because two is better than one. The Bible tells us that. And when he sent them out by two is the reason why they wouldn't be deterred. They would encourage one another. And a lot of times when the Lord's, there was two men in the Bible, Moses sent out 12 disciples or 12 spies and go into the land of Israel. Only two came back with good report. And two went into Jericho, and the Lord, two by two, and always through. And the Lord sent two out, and he said, go into Mount of Olives, and sent Jesus two disciples, and saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway, verse 2, this is this, you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Notice there was two of them, an ass and a colt. The colt was the foal of the ass, and he says, and loose them and bring them unto me. And it says, and if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord have need of him, and straightway he will send them. And this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughters of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass and a colt of the foal of an ass. And disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set them thereon, set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitude that went before that cried, that followed, cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Notice the Son of David. He says, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? Who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. At this time, Jesus Christ comes in as the prophet. Now go to Luke 19. Look at Luke 19. Look what it says here in Luke 19. We're going to come back to Matthew. But Luke 19. Like I said, most churches this morning, everybody's getting a palm or an olive branch or a leaf of it. And they're sitting around and the preachers don't preach anything about the reason why they do that. You say, well, it's because he rode in Jerusalem and because this was happening. And they won't preach on the second coming of Jesus Christ. They won't tell you the truth of why he did this. And there was a reason. This is a week before the crucifixion. It's a week. And he comes in. And look at Luke 19 and look at verse 28. And when he had spoken, he went and ascended up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, and this is Luke 19, verse 28. And it says, it came to pass when he was come nigh to Bethany at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, go ye into the village over against you, into which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never a man sat, loose him and bring him hither. Now, Luke's account only tells you about one. And all the way through Luke, he only tells you one. But in Matthew, it tells you about two. And two colts. And tells you where they were. And it says, if any man shall say, ask you, why do you loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way, found even as it had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, others, the owners thereof, said unto them, why loose ye the colt? And they said, the Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even unto the now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and to praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And you notice they didn't say peace on earth. It says peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. And he goes on. Luke tells his side. Matthew tells his side. Matthew gives you his viewpoint. And Luke gives you his viewpoint. But both of them, they line up. They're right together. And he says, hey, there's a colt and there's an ass. And he says, Jesus Christ is going to come triumphantly into Jerusalem. Now take your Bible and we're going to look at some scripture. Look over in Zechariah. Look in Zechariah, and that's right, Matthew on back. Go back from Matthew and then Zechariah. You got Haggai. And go to Zechariah chapter 9. And Zechariah chapter 9. This prophecy was given for the Jews to recognize their Messiah when he shows up. And this prophecy, I mean, Jesus Christ came. There was a lot of prophecies that was for them to recognize their Messiah when he showed up, but they did not recognize it. Now, the disciples did. The Pharisees didn't. They didn't want to recognize Jesus Christ. They didn't want to say, why? They wanted a Christ that they could run. They wanted somebody that would be obedient to them. They stood around, the Pharisees, Sadducees, they stood around Jesus Christ, and the only reason they were there is to try to catch him in the speech. They weren't there to worship. They weren't there looking for the Messiah. Now, he was a Savior, and he was a Messiah. A Savior was coming to die. Messiah was going to deliver them. A Savior was going to die, and a Messiah going to deliver them. So they weren't looking for that. What they were looking for, they were looking for somebody they could control and tell them what they wanted him to do. And Jesus Christ wasn't going to be controlled by them. He was God in the flesh. And the Bible tells us he was God, showed up in the flesh, and he came for a reason. He come to redeem that which was lost. And the Bible says in Zechariah chapter 9, and they should have recognized. In verse 9, it says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughters of Zion. Shout, O daughters of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just." And having, notice, Matthew doesn't put this in there. Matthew, in the book of Matthew or Luke, they talk about the king riding on a colt, but they don't put about salvation coming. The Jews should have been looking for that. They should have been looking. But the Bible says this. He is just having salvation, lowly riding upon an ass and upon a colt, a foal of an ass. And look at verse 10. And I will cut off the chariots from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off. And he shall speak peace unto the heathen. His dominion shall be from sea even to sea, from the river even to the ends of the earth. For as for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant, I will send forth thy prisoners out of the pit where there's no water. So here, this quote that they quote, that you'll find the king coming and sitting on a foal of an ass. They said, this is a quote from Zechariah. And it's a quote about the king coming. And the king, if they would have, you said, what would have happened if all Jerusalem would have accepted him as their king? Well, Jesus Christ would have had to go and still die as a savior, and then the world would have accepted him as Messiah. The whole thing, there was no church age, wouldn't have been no church age in there at all. You say, what do you mean? There wouldn't have been no Gentile church. There wouldn't have been 2,000 years of a Gentile church if they would have accepted him, but they didn't. And Acts chapter 7, finally, when Paul preaches to him and says, y'all crucified your king, or Stephen preached to him and says, you crucified your Messiah. And he preached at him. And he said, you killed him. Right. He came to die, but he came as a Messiah. And you rejected him. Right. Just like when the children of Israel came into the promised land, they crossed the Red Sea, God opened the Red Sea up, and God started wiping out the enemies. And he says, okay, go on into the promised land. And they sent the 12, and 10 came back and said, no way we can go in. So 40 years they wandered. So for 2,000 years, when Jesus Christ rode triumphantly into Jerusalem, and the Bible says they took their coats and they threw them on top of them, and they made a pathway, and they took the trees, they cut branches off olive trees, and olive trees was to represent royalty. And they put their clothes on the ass and on the foal, and they started disciples, the Bible says, started it with all the people around. They started saying, Hosanna to the king. The Pharisees are standing there looking at him going, no, man, tell them to shut up. You know how it is when you're in church and somebody starts praising God, people look around and say, man, why don't they just be quiet? Why don't they stop? Why do they got to get so excited about? Why is this religious thing? You know, that's why, because people are just religious, but they're lost.
Yeah. Amen.
They're religious, but they're not saved. They don't see the point in giving God praise.
Amen.
They don't see the point in loving the Lord and wanting to serve him.
Yeah.
When those Jews should have been the ones that would have recognized him. That same crowd that was saying Hosanna to the highest was the same crowd a week later saying, kill him!
Yeah, yeah.
Crucify him!
Yeah.
Same crowd.
Yeah, yeah.
It says, who is this? You know what? If you got to ask that question, who is this? Who is he? There's something wrong. If you got to ask that question, who is this Jesus? Who is he? You don't know him? You don't know who he is? I know who he is. You know, that's amazing. There's people this morning all over this country, all around the world. They're holding little trees. They have little palms. And the preachers are not preaching the truth, not telling people about why he came.
Yeah. Right.
Why was this entry? It was prophesied. He said, I've come to fulfill all scripture. He came to fulfill scripture. Look in Zechariah. Look at verse 11, chapter 11. Look over here in chapter 11. And look at verse, where is it? Look at chapter 11, verse 11. And it says, it was broken in the day. And so the poor of the flock that waited upon me knew that it was the word of the Lord. And I said unto them, if you think good, give me my price. It's a prophecy of something coming up. If not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. Judas. And the Lord said unto me, cast it onto the potter, and a goodly price that I was appraised at of them. And I looked, I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord. That was fulfilled. That was fulfilled in Scripture. Go back to Matthew chapter 21. That was fulfilled in Scripture. See, this thing was set in Scripture, and the Lord come to fulfill the Scripture. And he came in riding and disciples. You remember how many times the Bible says, and Jesus slipped away from them because they were ready to make him king. Let me tell you something right now. Jesus Christ is not king yet. Now, he can be king in your life. If you're sitting in this church this morning, he could be king in your life. But I'm sure sitting in this church this morning, that a lot of people, Jesus Christ is not king and ruler in your life. He's not there. You know what? You say, what position is Jesus in right now? Well, right now, Jesus Christ's position in heaven, sitting at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and me. So what position is that? He's our high priest. He's making it. You read Hebrews chapter 3, chapter 5, chapter 7, chapter 9. You'll find him as our high priest. So when is he going to be king? We're going to get to that. He's not king yet unless he's king in your life. The old saying is either Jesus Christ is sitting on the throne in here or he's at your feet. Or if he is sitting on the throne in here, you're at his feet. Who is he? Who is this? Who is he to you? Who is he? He's a prophet. He's a priest. Is he your king? I realized this morning, a lot of people will go to church. A lot of people will hold up little palm trees and palm branches and olive trees and all that stuff, but they don't really have Jesus Christ as their king, their priest. They don't even believe him as a prophet. They don't even believe it. He's a prophet. You know, to the post-millennials, I'm going to tell you this. Most churches this morning, they're either amillennials or they're post-millennials. What we are at this church, if you don't know, we're premillennial. And what that is, premillennial, we believe Jesus Christ is going to come back, and then the tribulation is going to happen, 7-year tribulation, and then he's going to set up his kingdom. It's pre. But see, the Roman Catholic Church, the Protestants, I'm talking about Protestants, like the Episcopalians, Methodists, and Lutheran and all that, they're amillennials or they're postmillennials. They believe that Jesus Christ was king then, and now the kingdom is spreading, and the way it's spreading is through the church, their church. They believe that's the way we're spreading it. So here that's kind of stupid to think that, because you think about it. Ever since Jesus, the Jews rejected him as their Messiah, they said, let his blood, the only king we have is who? They said, the only king we have is Rome. So they rejected, and when they crucified him, they reject him. And guess what? There's going to be a king showing up that they're going to accept, and he's not going to be Jesus Christ. It's going to be an Antichrist. So there's churches this morning, they believe, okay, like the Southern Baptist Convention, they teach that we're spreading the kingdom. Now, I realize this. The Bible says in Luke chapter 17, it says this. If you're saved, the kingdom of God is within you. If you're saved, you got the kingdom of God inside you. You got the kingdom of God inside you. You got the kingdom of God inside you. It's inside you. And the way you spread the kingdom of God is telling other people how to get saved. But what they believe is, most churches believe that the way that the kingdom of God is being spread is through the Pope and through the archbishops and through all those, and they're building bigger buildings, they're taking more land, they think we're spreading the kingdom, that's how we're getting it. That's not true. That's a lie.
Yeah. Right.
Jesus Christ rode into Jerusalem. He rides in, and they start saying, Hosanna to the highest. And the Pharisees, the ones, the religious crowd, should have been the ones accepting. It's always been that way, folks. Yeah. The religious crowd do not accept him. The religious crowd wants somebody they can run. They want somebody they can control. One day, he's going to come back and he will put them in their proper position. Now, take your Bible, look at this. Look in Revelation chapter 7. Look in Revelation chapter 7. Revelation 7. Check this out. Revelation 7. We've been in the book of Revelation on Wednesday night. And Revelation 7, you'll find these palms. Revelation 7. And these, you say, what is these palms talking about? In Revelation 7, it gives you the description of the 144,000 Jewish males of every tribe of the children of Israel. And it gives you all the 12 tribes there. And look at verse 9. And this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, and no man could number. Everybody says, oh, heaven's going to be a boring place. Heaven ain't going to have no fun. You ain't going to have no, it's going to be boring. Oh, yeah? I'll tell you what, hell's going to be a boring place. Heaven's going to be a place that's, man, just rejoicing. And man, with joy and praise. And man, you talking about heaven's going to be something, brother. I can't wait to get there. And I got Kool-Aid for everybody here this morning. No, I'm kidding. And it says, and this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, and no man could number, of all nations, kindred, and people, and tongues, and stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, and what? In their hands. And cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood around about the throne and around the elders and the four beasts and fell down before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing, glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, honor, and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these? See, the question was, who is he? Who is this? And one of the elders, he says, one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. He said, I don't know, but you know. He said, to me, these are they that came out of what? And have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. And it says, and they shall hunger no more. Look at this. Neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. These are people that suffered. And for the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them and shall lead them on the living fountains of water. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. These are people that suffered because back in Matthew chapter 21 and Matthew chapter 22, Matthew chapter 23, they rejected. They rejected. Now, the Bible tells us that you look at the sequence. Look at Matthew chapter 21. Look at the next thing he does. I'm going to go back to the first part here in a minute. But look at the next thing he does. After Jesus Christ rides in Jerusalem, and they're saying Hosanna to the King in the highest and all that, and the multitude, they said, tell him to shut up. Look at the next thing. And Jesus went into the temple of God and casted all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And he said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer. Notice he says, my house. In John chapter 2, he starts his ministry out, and he said, it's my Father's house. At the end of Matthew 23, he tells those Pharisees, he said, now it's your house. Why? Because God vacated it. God left it. He said, it's your house. He said, first he says, it's my Father's house. And then he says, it's my house. And then he gets down to Matthew 23. He says, now it's your house. You can have it. And they destroyed it. Rome does.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen.
Guess what? The Antichrist is going to come back, set it up again. Or it's going to be set up, and the Antichrist is going to walk in. Branches, these olive branches, symbolize Christ as a conquering ruler over Israel and over their nation of Gentile nations. They symbolize that. The palm trees, The palm trees, the Bible talks about there was a city of palm trees. You know where that was? It was near Jericho. You know what Jericho was called? It was called accursed. Palm trees, where Jericho was called accursed. So Jesus Christ said, I've come. He said, you can come back. I'm going to conquer. And I'm going to conquer the Gentile nations. And they're going to be destroyed. United Nations. I'm going to conquer. So palm trees represent Jericho as a cursed city and conquering the world and Rome. In Revelation chapter 17 and 18, you'll find where the Roman Catholic Church is destroyed. Look at Daniel chapter 2. We're going to get back here in a minute. Look back. Go to Daniel chapter 2. Check this out. Man, this book is just covered with this. Like I've said before, when we started the book of Revelation, God's day, hour, month, and year is going to be set, and it's going to come to pass when he says it's going to happen. That thing when Jesus Christ rode in to fulfill Scripture, he knew that they were not going to make him king. He knew that they were going to reject him. He knew that. Why? A week later, they crucified him. A week later. Folks, that shows you how fickle people are. That shows you how fickle we are. We'll praise God 1 minute, and then we'll curse him the next because he didn't do what we wanted him to do. The Pharisees sat back, and they were worried about their position. And the Bible says they delivered Jesus Christ up because of envy. Like there's people sitting in church this morning. They got their little palm tree in their hand. I'm not against it. But they don't even know why. They don't know why he did it. They just think it's a great day, which it was. He said, he told the Pharisees, he said, if they shut up, the stones are going to cry out. Look in Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2, look at verse 44. This is the fulfilled scripture. We just saw the other night, we saw, 60 Tomahawk missiles fired at Syria. The whole world is a powder keg. The whole world, man, is just crazy. Things are going on. I mean, folks, we think we have no partners when it comes to peace. We think, man, America is the great, and what other nations call America is the great Satan. They call America. But, we're living in America. We think, thank God for America. Everybody's dying to get here. They want to come here. Why? Because of freedom. They want freedom. Now, when Jesus Christ comes back one day, it's going to be righteous judgment. It's going to be everything set up in the right way. I mean, I thank God for America. I wouldn't want to be in no other country. Matter of fact, I don't even want to leave this country to go anywhere else. I want to thank God that I can be in America. But I'm going to tell you something. America is slowly, and I shouldn't even say slowly, they're in the fast lane turning their back on Jesus Christ. Where our country was founded upon the Word of God and, man, upon the Bible, prayer, and Bible-believing Christians, now we've turned our back to go away from it. We thank God for our veterans that fight, and then they come back, and then they're in this politic thing that where you got two parties, three parties against each other, fighting against each other, and you got all this stuff going on, and they think, oh, man, everybody's trying to get more power, more position, more money. Doc used to teach us, man, if you don't understand it, there's a buck behind it, and that's what's happening. But one day when the Lord comes back, look at Daniel chapter 2. Look at Daniel chapter 2. Look at verse 44. Daniel 2:44. Look what it says. In the days of these kings shall God, the God of heaven, set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom that shall be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms. It shall stand forever. Who's that talking about? For as much as thou sawest that the stone that was cut out of the mountain without hands, it shall break in pieces the iron, the brass and the clay and the silver and the gold, and the great God that made known unto to the king. This is Daniel telling Nebuchadnezzar. This is about a dream he had thousands of years ago. And he tells him there's going to be four kingdoms set up, but there's going to be a king that's going to come out of heaven, and he's going to destroy all the kingdoms. He's a king that's cut out of stone out of the side of a mountain. And the Bible says, look at this. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out, verse 45, out of the mountain without hands, break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, the gold, and the great God that made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain. And look what it says. The dream is certain in the interpretation thereof, sure. Look at verse 43. Here's a crazy thing. Whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. Who is that mixing with the seed of men? Something made of iron. But they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. Something's coming that's going to mix with the seed of men. Go to Matthew 21. Look at the sequence. Matthew 21, look at verse 13. I'm throwing a bunch of stuff at you right now. Just throwing a bunch of stuff. But look at this. And said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, that ye shall have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, the children crying in the temple, children sitting around in the temple crying, saying, Hosanna to the son of David. And they were sore displeased, and said unto him, hearest thou what these say? Remember, they said, who is this? Pharisees stood over there, they wouldn't say who he was. Christians today that know who he is won't say who he is. Won't tell other people. Won't witness for him. Look at this. And Jesus said unto them, verse 16, yea, have you not never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise? I'm his child. You're his child. You know what he wants from you? Praise. He wants worship. No father wants his child to say, who are you?
Yeah.
Who are you? So how do you get to know him? You get to know him through this book. You get to know him through prayer. Look back at chapter 21, look at verse 2 again. Saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose him and bring him unto me. You know, say, who was that ass? That was you and me. The Bible says in Job, it says, we were born like a wild ass's colt. I remember Dr. Ruppman said one time, he said he sat around with this old farmer down in Alabama, and a guy raised donkeys. He said, hey, man, tell me something about donkeys. And the guy said, what do you want to know? He said, whatever you know, I want to know. And the farmer said, he sat back and sipped on his tea and crunched his ice. He said, well, he said, I'm going to tell you something. He said, I know this about donkeys. They're stubborn. He said, they're stubborn. Doc said, well, amen. He said, what else you know? He said, they like to run around the woods at night. Loose. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil.
Right. Amen.
You know, I hated the daylight. I love it now. I used to love running around at night. I always tell people, don't go out. Man, don't go out at night. You're going to get in trouble.
Yeah.
Don't go out there. You'll mess up. You'll get in trouble. Stay away from that mess. They love to go out. They love to be out. They said, not only that, their mothers like to go with them. He said you'll find an ass tied in a fold with him. Mamas, I want to tell you something. You influence your children more than anybody else.
Yes, sir.
Your children are influenced by you more than anybody. Your father, the husband, he's working, but you have the most influence on that child. And the Bible says this. It doesn't say the son's going to be like the father. It says the daughter is like the mother. That always put the fear of God in you. Scares me. Linda and I, when we had children, we were scared. We were scared to death. We thought, oh, God, don't let our sins come out on our children. Wild ass is cold. God, don't let the sins of our past come on our kids. I've seen some of it has. I've seen some of it. Not seeing God have mercy on us. Tell you something else about that. He said, that old ass's colt, he said, man, he said, he can't be broke unless you ride him. He can't be broke unless you ride him. What was such a miracle about Jesus, he said, go get where, the Bible says in Luke, where never a man rode. And they threw their coats on top of this ass's colt, and Jesus got right up on him and rode him in Jerusalem. And everybody started saying, Hosanna in the highest. You know what that shows me? That we're a bunch of asses colt, that we were wild, nobody could tame, and the Lord came in our life. Amen. And all he wants to do now is just ride you so you can share in his glory. He wants you to share in his glory. My brother Matthew said, what happened to the colt? What happened to the ass? Where is it? It's right here. It's right here. The Lord wants you to share in his glory. You know what he said? He said one time, he said, if you suffer with me, you shall also reign.
Amen.
Up in heaven, they're shouting. The 144,000, they gave their lives. They got the palms in their hands. And they're shouting, our king's going to be victorious.
Amen.
Yeah. Jesus rode in there on the donkey. A donkey represented royalty for a king. You think about Absalom riding a donkey. You think about David. All of them rode, I would think a stallion would be the way to go. But the donkey was slow so the people could see the king riding into the glory. A stallion would be jumping, prancing, wanting to go, where a donkey just steady. You know something about that donkey? The Lord said in Exodus, he said, if you have a donkey, it's a male, he said, if you got to redeem that donkey with a lamb. The only animal in the Bible that has to be redeemed with another animal. I thought, that's crazy. Exodus. Only animal in the Bible had to be redeemed with a lamb. Can you imagine a lamb and a donkey in a stall together? And the lamb knows he's going to die for this donkey? My God. Lamb said, man, I'm dying for you. You know what the Bible says? It says, if you don't redeem that donkey with that lamb, they had to break his neck. A hangman's noose. Guess what Judas went out and did? Judas wasn't redeemed. Went out and broke his neck. What God wants to do is he wants to break that stubbornness in our lives. There's so much here. If you look at chapter 21, it says, Jesus told him, he said, and I believe the Lord did this for a reason. He said, you'll find this donkey. He said, you'll find him, the baby of the donkey, the foal of the donkey. You'll find it where, and the Bible tells us in Mark chapter 11. Take your Bible, look at Matthew, Mark chapter 11. Look at this. Mark chapter 11, verse 4. Look at Matthew, Mark chapter 11. Look what it says. There's so much preaching in this thing, it's unreal. Mark chapter 11, verse 4. Matthew and Luke doesn't say this, but Mark does. It says, they went their way and found the colt tied by the door. Notice, just by the door. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Right by the door. You know what Jesus Christ is called in John? He's called the door. Mark says this. He says he's right by the door without in a place where two ways met. And they said, loose him. You know what it shows you right here? It says he's tied up. He's right by the door. It's two ways. It's either God's way or your way. Two ways met. They always say that's a crossroads in a Christian's life. I told a guy yesterday, I said, you come to a place in your life and you don't know which way to go. You say, God, well, I don't know which way. You say, Lord, show me. You'll come to a crossroads. That's a cross. You come to a crossroads. You say, Lord, should I take this job or should I move? Should I do this? Should I do that? Lord, what should I do? And the Bible says, wait on the Lord. Be of good cheer. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You come to a place and you don't know which way to go. Wait till God opens the door. Lord, all right, that's the way I should go. I told this young man yesterday, I said, there's so many times in my Christian life, and still I'm going to be facing it. I've come to crossroads, and I had to wait and say, Lord, I don't know which way to go. I don't know what to do. And I waited and prayed. And finally, the door opened, and the other door shut. We're so in a hurry, we're like the stallion that can't be rode. We're so in a hurry that we got to go. We just tear up. Lord rode that colt where two ways met. He said, go out and get him. Bring him to me. Then he says, I have need of him. Let me tell you this morning. We're like that wild ass's colt, but God tamed us, saved us, brought us and allowed us to share in his glory, and he's still allowed. All he wants you to do is yield. Yep. He said, if you don't redeem that colt or that donkey, you break his neck. My. Revelation. Go back to Matthew chapter 21. There's so much here, folks. Yeah, the Bible says, Jesus said, when he said, my house, my Father's house, and then your house. Yeah, the Bible says this. It says, judgment must begin at the house of God. You know what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to judge ourselves. Judgment shall begin with us. If you got sin in your life, you want the Lord to get back on your back, ride you for his glory, for you to share in his glory, you got to judge sin in your life. Look at the next thing, chapter 21, Matthew, verse 18. When the Pharisees said, shut them up. Shut them up. We don't want to hear this crying out, Hosanna to the Son of God. You know, a lot of people don't like to go to church where people are praising God. I'm talking about decently in order. I'm not talking about falling out, going, blah, 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 blah. They think that's worship. That ain't worship. I'm talking about praising him in the right way, singing to him. Amen. Just like my brother Matthew and his wife sang this morning, they were just singing. How it ministered our hearts. Amen. That's what singing ought to do. Yes, it ought to minister to you and minister to him. Right. People don't want to be around that. They want to, you know, they get nervous. They get very nervous. Somebody starts praising God, thanking the Lord for his mercy. Somebody stands up and says, glory! Thank you, Lord! Crying. They get nervous. The next thing Jesus does, he comes out and he curses a fig tree. And we know the fig tree is the type of Israel. He curses them. Because when anybody should have accepted him, it should have been Israel. There was just a handful of folks out there praising him. He wasn't king yet. He's still not king. He hadn't got his rightful place. But if he's your God, he's your Savior. He's king to you. Look at, then chapter 21, verse 23, they start questioning his authority. They say to him, who gave you this authority? And they said, who told you that? Look at verse 24. Jesus answered and said unto them, he said, I will ask you one thing, which if I tell you, and likewise will tell you what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, whence was it, from heaven or of men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, why did ye not then believe him? He cursed them. He goes down and he has a parable of two sons. He goes down, verse 33, he has the parable of the householder. Look on down to verse 42. And Jesus answered and said unto them, did ye never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders reject, the same has become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you. This same chapter, after all this stuff, he gets to Jerusalem. The Pharisees said to him, shut him up. Tell him to shut up. And he says, if I tell him to shut up, all the stones are going to cry out. He said, haven't you read? Where out of the mouth of babes and sucklings out of perfected praise. And they start saying, who gave you the authority? Who are you? Who are you? They knew who he was. They didn't want him to rule over them. Let me ask you something this morning. Are you willing to let him rule in your life and say, not my will, but thine be done? Are you willing this morning? Are you ready to say, Lord, I'm going to praise you. I want you to take control. I want you to rule. Same chapter. Same time. We're going down. He said, the kingdom of God is going to be taken away from you. You know why a lot of churches that are dead now that used to preach the word of God? Faith Baptist Church, if we get rid of that Bible, we'll be done. We'll be done. We'll be dead like the rest of them. He said, I'll take the kingdom of God away from you. You got folks sitting in church this morning, waving their little thing. They don't even know. They don't even know nothing about it. They don't know why. It's represent his coming back. They don't know why. They're just waving. I feel good. Like I knew I would now. They're just waving. They don't understand. They don't understand the significance behind all the events that take place. There's so much in here. Look on down. Matthew 21, verse 42. And we're going to stop here. He says, did he never read in the scriptures the stone which the builders rejected? That's over in Daniel. He said, the stone's going to come back and stomp you. The stone's going to break you in pieces. The same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth fruits thereof. You know who the nation is? It's Gentiles. Us. If you read the book of Acts, the Jews got jealous because Paul went in and to the Jews and they didn't want to hear it. And the Gentiles said, can we hear it? Can we listen? And he said, yeah. So he starts preaching to Gentiles, and they believe, and the Jews stirred up the people and ran them out of town. He said, kill them. Look at here. Verse 44. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. Who's the stone? Jesus Christ. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it shall grind him to powder. And when the chief priests and the Pharisees had heard this parable, they perceived that he spake of them. See, I'm like the Lord. I'm mad at the religions of this world. I'm mad. I'm mad at the preachers that walk around their collars drinking their wine and smoking their cigars and cursing and acting like a fool and man and got thousands following them right straight to hell. I'm mad about that. But they're waving their little palm tree. They're waving it, and people don't even know why. Look on what the Bible says. They said they knew he was talking about them. And when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude because they took him for a prophet. Jesus Christ, the prophet. Right now, he's in heaven as our high priest, making intercession for us. Find that in the book of Hebrews. You ought to read the book of Hebrews all the way through. Read it this week. You find Jesus Christ is up there making intercession for you. And then he's coming back one day. Take your Bible, look in Revelation 19. Revelation 19. There's so much here, folks, we can't even cover it all. But Revelation 19. Right here, there's going to be a period of time called the tribulation. 7 years. It's called Jacob's trouble, Daniel's 70th week. And right here is Revelation chapter 6 on to chapter 19. And then Armageddon. And but Revelation chapter 19, look at this. He says, verse 7, he says, and let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. His wife had made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he said unto me, write, blessed are they that are called on the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are that are true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou not, do not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. This is somebody telling John. And he says, worship God, and the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And then here comes Jesus coming back to get his rightful place. This time he's not riding a donkey. This time he's riding a war horse. This time he's on a war horse, brother. And we're going to be right with him. Give me chills thinking about it. We're going to be watching him, looking at him, and behind him. And the Bible says all the armies of the heaven follow him. See, there's more than one army in heaven. And all the armies of heaven come down. Why? Because the down on earth in Revelation chapter 16, 15, so on, the whole world is gathered together to fight against him. And those 144,000 that were killed for the name of Jesus Christ, they're going, glory! And the Lord says, I got horses for you all. Get on. That's a lot of horses, folks. I'd say it'd be in the billions of horses. Riding. Jesus coming back. Look at this. And I saw heaven open. Uh-oh. Look out. The Bible says they're going to be crying out, let the rocks fall on us so we won't have to face him. He said, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he doeth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. On his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He's just coming out of the marriage supper of the Lamb, and we're worshiping God and praising him. And the Lord says, hey, guys, I tell you what, it's time. There's a day, and there's an hour, there's a month, and there's a year. It's time. Mount up! We're going to watch our king come into Jerusalem the same exact route coming through the eastern gate. But this time the gate is blocked up. It's about 6 to 8 foot thick, even more than that. They thought they're going to stop the king from coming in through Jerusalem. And the Bible says he's going to come down the king's highway. You read your Bible, you find Joshua went up the king's highway, and they came up, and Jesus Christ, and we're going to be right behind him, coming up, and he's on a white horse, and he's going to say, charge! Amen. Amen. Coming to fight for Jerusalem. And this time, nobody's going to say, who is this? Yeah. What is he doing here? By what authority do you, he's going to take the authority. Amen. Who do you think you are? He's going to show him who he is.
Amen.
I'm on his side.
Amen.
I'm on his side.
Yeah.
And we're going to be coming down singing Hosanna to the highest. And praising him all the way down. All the Muslims, ISIS, Hezbollah, all the other organizations, PLO, all the other organizations, going to be wiped out.
Yeah. Amen.
All the haters of God. And the Bible says, his eyes were as a flame of fire, verse 12. On his head with many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed in a vesture dipped in blood. His name is called the, notice, capital W, the Word of God.
Amen.
That's why we believe this is the Word of God. Amen. All the new Bibles are perversions. This is the Word of God.
Amen.
I tell people, if this is not the Word of God, we're all sunk. Amen. But I know it's the Word of God.
Amen.
It comes to pass. This book right here, brother, is alive. This book changed your life.
Amen.
This book, man, transforms people. The Lord's coming back, and one day he's going to have his rightful place.
Yep.
There won't be no more killing of punks and drug addicts and all that junk on the street.
Yep. Yep. Amen.
He's going to reign in righteousness.
Amen.
Right here, you see this? He's going to sit down on a throne and judge the nations. United Nations, ain't going to be no more. The Bible says, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that which if he should smite the nations, he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he tread the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of God Almighty. We don't have time to cover all that, but I'm telling you something, folks. He's coming.
Yeah.
And I'm glad to sit here this morning. I know Easter's next week. I know why we wave and take off our clothes, and they were paving his way. And what that was, it was a dress rehearsal for the king to come.
Amen.
And I'm excited.
Amen.
I want him to come. And I believe he's going to be in my lifetime.
Yeah.
My lifetime.
Amen.
We'll get to see it.
Yeah.
I'd recommend this. If you're not saved, you better get saved.
Amen.
And if you're saved, I recommend you better get your house in order.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
You better get your life together. Why? Because you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which is God's.
Yeah.
You better tell your children and raise your children to love him, or they'll be with the armies of the world against him.
Yeah.
You know how many Christian kids that were raised in Christian homes that are out now fighting against Jesus Christ? Because the parents were hypocritical.
Yeah.
Don't be a hypocrite, folks.
Yeah.
Lift one.
Yeah.
Those people up in heaven shouting Hosanna to the highest, yep, waving their palm trees. Like I said, palm trees came from Jericho. They represent conquering judgment. You know what God, the Bible says Joshua said about Jericho? He said, cursed be the person that rebuilds this place.
Right.
Lord, thank you today for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. I thank you, God, we know the true meaning.